Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN. Welcoming Amanda Scotess. Amanda, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am here. It's Scotess.
Scotess. Sorry. Beautiful
yes,
name.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. By the way, that's a very beautiful name you have there.
Thanks.
Well, you're welcome.
If you wanted to be Italian about it, you could say Scotese.
Oh, okay. I got you there.
Yes.
I understand what's going on then. All right. Well, that's not too politically incorrect. Thanks, John. So, the badass women of Chicago history highlighted in a virtual tour. The headline reads, you're the tour master. Can you just sort of fill us in on how you came up with this?
My company, Chicago Detours, we've been highlighting women of Chicago history for the past 4 years. It was originally a live storytelling event that we did at first the Den Theater, the second year we did at the Hideout, and we've had a lot of fun with it. And this year, of course, we wanted to continue that spirit and wouldn't be doing it at a live venue. So we put together stories of women from Chicago history that we think have made incredible contributions to anything from science to culture and social justice.
Where does the moniker "badass woman" come from? I mean, how do we differentiate between, you know, a regular woman and one of the badass women that you have selected?
I love this question. So I would say that the term "badass,"
yeah,
would and I also appreciate that that's completely fine for us to be saying on air as well.
Sure.
Badass is a term that means a woman who strived for something that maybe the masses would have seen as out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be a defining
yes.
characteristic of all of these women. So every woman, of course, is badass in her own way, as well as people of any gender.
Yes.
But I think that what unites these women is that they were faced with obstacles and barriers that did have to do with being women, and that they said, whatever, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway.
Well, I think using that term is a great idea. I think it's fantastic because it brings, well, at least it did to me, and I'm sure it does to most people who see it in print, that it brings an immediate attention to this event that you're doing, because that expression is not normally used in conjunction with what it is that you're about to do. And it's like, what? So whoever was in charge of putting that together, that as part of the title of the event, I think that's a very fine marketing decision.
We've also applied it to, we've created a journal that we call the Badass Women Journal, and it's a printed booklet, and that also tells the stories of some pretty awesome women.
So this is going to be, and I believe does it start tonight, this virtual tour?
Yes, we launched it a couple hours ago. And we have three more dates that we'll be doing it for the public in March, which, of course, is Women's History Month.
Right. The women that are highlighted, in the article I have, there are six. Are there more in the tour itself?
So we're focusing on the stories of six women. There's other women that end up coming up into the presentation peripherally.
Right. Yeah.
But we're really focusing on six women so that we can really understand their stories and also the unique qualities or kind of superpowers that really made them succeed.
Well, I think that just speaking for myself, you know, I have two daughters, two adult daughters, And for, it's just my opinion, okay, that women have had the short, you know, have not had their fair share since day one. And that applies to just about everything. I'm not quite sure what wouldn't fit in to that statement, whether it's equal pay, whether it's opportunity, whether it's voting. Good Lord.
Right.
You know, there's just a whole big old bag of stuff that women are not, even to this day, given even footing on. And the more attention that's brought to that, the better. And I think that the Me Too movement a couple of years ago helped accelerate that. And then there were, there continues to be allegations about alleged mistreatment of women in the workplace. I don't want to get into them now, but they're in the headlines if anybody wants to take a look. So taking a tour and becoming aware of badass women who, you know, overcame all the things that were in front of them simply because they were women is just a great, great idea. And does this mean that you have actually, pardon me for not knowing this, but that you took a tour, literally took a tour, like with a camera, and videoed?
The visuals that we experience on this virtual event are a mixture of historic images. Uh-huh. We also use some 360-degree immersive Google Street Views to to sites where we can see relics from their stories. And we also have some original artwork of these women that's what's painting the picture that you're going to actually see on the screen.
We're going to break and come back and talk about these individual women. But first, tell me, how does one get access to this tour?
So ChicagoDetours.com, go to public events, and that's where you will find the Badass Women of History virtual event.
Okay. We're going to talk some more about these badass women. I just love saying that. When we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. It's 847, and the topic on the table right now is Badass Women of Chicago.
I am woman, hear me roar.
Yep.
In numbers too big to ignore.
Thank you, Helen Reddy. All right, Amanda.
Yeah, so it's a great music clip you got there.
Oh, thanks. Now, there was a song. That's how long all of this has been going on. I began the hour with a song from 1963 that was called You Don't Own Me by Leslie Gore. And then that's from somewhere in the 70s, I Am Woman, Helen Reddy. So, you know, this women attempting to make their mark has been a challenge since, as I said earlier, day one. So who are we going to highlight?
So we are going to highlight women whose contributions are varied.
Yep.
So there is, for example, Enid Yandell, who worked on sculptures for the 1893 World's Fair. And she, very rare for the time, made her living as an artist. Ended up traveling around the world. She never married, which was, you know, a shock. She may have been lesbian, not totally sure, but she defied the gender norms for her era. And, you know, said, I'm going to make a living as an artist. And she did it. We also talk about Bessie Coleman, who is just an incredible story of the first black female aviatrix and also first Native American with a pilot's license. She had heritage on both of those sides, and she actually could not get into pilot school because it wasn't open to blacks or women.
Unbelievable.
And so she ended up going to France in order to do so.
So how many years ago? This has got to be in like the early 20s or
Yeah, 1920s? Even earlier. Yeah, we're talking more than 100 years ago. And what's amazing about Betsy Coleman is that I bet you if you ask people, hey, who was the first female pilot? They're going to say Amelia Earhart. But Amelia Earhart was like 15 years after Betsy Coleman got her license.
Yeah. And no, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just
And then just the fact that she took French classes so that she could learn French and then learn how to fly in another language. The whole story is really pretty incredible.
I see in the article that she enlisted the help of the Chicago Defender.
Yeah, to Defender helped fund for her to get to France.
Wow.
And the whole concept was that stunt flights where they were doing daredevil swoops and crazy loops in the air, that was a big fad. So what the Chicago Defender wanted to do was have Betsy Coleman do these stunt shows as publicity for the Chicago Defender newspaper.
Not a bad idea. We're talking like wing walking and all of that kind of crazy stuff that we've seen in newsreel footage and cinema that depicts that era of flying. The article also said, she was killed during a flight in 1926.
Yes, you know, she actually, though, had a crash before that, and she survived that one. The crash that led to her death was a mechanical failure.
Wow.
And she died young. She was only 34. And, you know, the real bummer about it is that Betsy really wanted to work for a commercial airline, but they wouldn't hire her.
Right.
And so she was very much set out to open up her own school so that she could teach other people how to fly and open up that world to anyone. And that was her dream. And there is no doubt that she would have realized it if she had had a chance to be on the earth a little longer.
And her home in Bronzeville still stands, and a library branch in Woodlawn is named after her, according to your article.
Yes, and also a road at O'Hare Airport.
That's fantastic. Who else are we going to discuss here?
We'll talk about Iva Tagori Dacchino, who was the seventh American tried with treason. And despite that she was an American citizen and completely loyal to the United States, she would not renounce her citizenship, despite that she was pressured over and over again to, the American government treated her family horribly, and she just kept wanting to say that she was American. And she actually had, people might know, up on Belmont, there was a store called Tagori Imports.
Yeah.
And and that was her family's business. Her father, after being let out of an internment camp, was moved to Chicago, and then that's how she ended up in Chicago. And that's where she, what she did for the rest of her life is she helped out with her dad's import store. And nobody would have guessed, this woman was made national news for her reputation as Tokyo Rose, which was a name given to these propaganda newscasters that were in Japan.
Yes.
Kind of a complicated story. You got to come on the event to get the whole thing.
That sounds very intriguing. I'd love to get the backstory,
interesting. Yeah, and especially I've talked with some people that said, I remember that store.
Oh, I'll bet. Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The ballerina, one of the greatest ballerinas of the 20th century, you highlight.
Maria Talchi. So she came from the Osage Nation and was born on a reservation in Oklahoma. And she was just very precocious as a dancer. And she focused completely and solely on ballet and ended up becoming a superstar in New York City. And ultimately spent the second half of her career in Chicago and taught ballet at the Lyric Opera and really influenced ballet here. And she's an interesting story because she had a lot of pressures to try to change her name because, you know, imagine that in her era, you know, we're talking 1950s, people had very, very stereotypical ideas of Native Americans. And, you know, they even told her, you know, change your name from Tall Chief to Tall Chiva so that you can sound Russian. And instead of sounding Native American, yes. And she said, no way. Like, that's my heritage. And, yeah.
Because, of course, everybody knows the Russians have the greatest ballet on earth. So why wouldn't you try to take a Russian-sounding last name? That's insane. That is just truly insane. That is one of the more insane stories I've ever heard. I mean, I've heard of people in the entertainment industry changing their names. I mean, it happens all the time, for one reason or another. But I don't know. That just doesn't sound Russian enough. How is it, Naomi Weinstein.
She's so our presentation goes chronologically over the past what, about 130 years.
Yeah.
And she's the most recent figure that we highlight in our presentation. So she was a psychologist and incredibly accomplished. And in fact, on her first day of grad school, someone said to her and some other girl, other women that were with her, they said, what are you doing here? You should be trying to focus on a family and having a child. And instead, she was incredibly successful with her psychology career. But that's actually not the story that we're really focusing on, is that she was involved in an all-female rock band.
Yeah.
And
at Loyola, at Loyola University, right?
I believe she was, I don't know if it was physically at Loyola University, but it was through the Coalition of, Coalition of Labor Women. And they had their, it was an organization that used, they had all kinds of advocacy for women, anything from a rape crisis to, you know, helping women get access to education. And she said she found that, you know, all these, this would, of course, be of particular interest to you with your music background, is going to be, you know, she was listening to these lyrics and she said so many of them sound really horribly sexist. And so why don't we try to, you know, make music that's going to set a more positive example for young women. And so, you know, her idea was to make a band. And it was at first, I mean, she had this very positive attitude that anyone who wanted to be a part of it could, was welcome. And then
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have, unfortunately, run out of time.
No problem. She made music. But thank you for having me on. And that was the Chicago Women's Liberation Rock Band.
All right, thank you. Thanks a lot for being with us,
Thank you so much.